Just do it. We're all familiar with that iconic slogan. It's described as one of the best taglines of the 20th century. The swoosh. You know that one from Nike. It's a shape, and it's appeared alongside the trademark Just Do It for over 35 years. It's a simple design. It's fluid and conveys motion and speed, movement. The logo is also said to be a symbol of the winged goddess of victory, Nike. Now, we don't believe in Greek goddesses. We know where our victory lies. Although some of us are not professional athletes or training for the next Olympics, Just Do It isn't a slogan in God's economy. It's a command. We need to get going, get moving, and run the race that is set before us. The race is the Christian life. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And we are called to stay the course and remain faithful to the end. And I have many friends in Dallas who are marathoners. And they run every day in the rain, in the scorching heat. They don't care what the weather's like. They prepare daily and stay, as they say, race ready. Paul used race imagery near the end of his life when he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Jesus went about doing the work of the Father. He, his disciples, and the apostles were always on the move. They were obedient to the Holy Spirit's direction of ministry to those in need, need of forgiveness, need of healing, need of food, compassion, kindness, and the absolute necessity of hearing the word of the Lord preached to them. Faith, motion, and obedience are themes in our scripture passage for today. This story is a continuation of God's testing of the prophet Elijah in Zarephath, which actually means the smelting place. God was cranking up the heat on Elijah. And there's a real important element recorded here in this scripture for us. It's the element of Jesus' personal ministry and outreach to others. The testing and the needs of the prophet Elijah become a means of ministry to a poor widow and her son. The events of our lives, even our everyday and seemingly mundane affairs, are not without importance to God. They are certainly not without God's providential care as the one who works all things to his will. But the important truth to this scripture is the need of God's people to consider this fact against our varied lives. We must think, trust, and act accordingly. The events of our lives are tools and agents of the Almighty. He uses these things to get our attention, change our values, our character, priorities, pursuits, and above all, to change our sources for trust and security and happiness. But let's never lose sight of the fact that the same events that test us often become the means by which God is able to use us in ministry to others. In other words, our trials often become vehicles for ministry, opportunities to manifest the life of Jesus Christ and the reality and power of God, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. And this is what precisely we see in this next episode of the life of Elijah. His need becomes a means of meeting the needs in the life of this widow and her son. After all, neither the prophet nor the widow receives anything unless Elijah acts. And this is a challenge to our mindset today. Why does God want things from us? Has God ever challenged you in the midst of scarcity or fear? I know he has me. One time I was waiting for my bus, and there was a lady waiting beside me, and I was impressed very much by God. to give away my last $10 to this woman. And when I think back on it, I'm not proud of the fact that I hesitated. I needed that money. I mean, it was my last $10. But I was obedient and gave this money to this lady. And I found out later on that that $10 provided her with a ride to rehab. So I was very happy and blessed that I could help her out in my moment of need and minister to her for her rehabilitation. At the heart of hearts of God, He does everything out of care and in the best interest for His children. This is the place where we receive what God wants for us. Elijah waited at the brook until he received a word of the Lord, which is an instruction. Notice this verse has three commands of movement: arise, go, and stay. There's also a promise of provision. For God says, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Elijah's provision would come by human hands, probably the least likely hands he could have imagined. In each of these commands, there are tests for the prophet: a test of faith, of obedience, of availability and his commitment, a test of vision for what God is doing in his life. Go now to Zarephath, Elijah. God was moving him out of his place of safety. And let's not forget another man of great faith, Abram, in Genesis 12. Go from your country and the kindred to the land that I will show you. So Abram went, as the Lord told him. By their faithful obedience, greater things would come. By these tests, God was building Abraham and Elijah's faith. Abraham believed. His faith and his obedience never wavered through all the tests of his life. In fact, his compliance was the foundation of our salvation. God made good on his promise to Abraham. Chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel records this and gives an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Remember, Abraham was an ancestral patriarch of the Israelites and the father of many nations, the nations of Gentiles. And God increased Elijah's capacity for ministry by using him to comfort this widow and her son. And I know tests and trials never feel good. They're God's curveball. They knock us off balance. They force us out of our little comfort zones. And every now and then, they push us right over to take that leap of faith into that unknown place. Some would respond, no, 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 no. I'm staying put. I'm not going. With little risk comes little reward. At the entrance of the town, Elijah meets the very woman who was appointed by divine providence to support him. Now, his faith was severely tested when he learned from her that her supplies were exhausted. Remember, she just had a little meal and a little jug of oil, and that she was preparing her last meal for herself and her son. Yet, the Spirit of God having prompted Elijah to ask, and her to grant some necessary relief to him, it was because of her obedience she received a prophet and received a prophet's reward, as Matthew's Gospel records in chapter 10. And for this one meal that was afforded to Elijah, God, by miraculous increase of the little bit she had, it provided much for her. Does this not serve to remind us again that we're not here for ourselves, even in our pain and our need? God cares for us. We're not alone. He cares for others too, and often seeks to minister to the people around us through our own suffering or our need. The challenge is to see God's heart in all the hard places that we're in right now. Are you willing to recognize and accept what God is putting before you, before me, to see God working in your life? We're supposed to give our lives in goodness and mercy to others. It prods us, doesn't it, to think deeply and see God where we don't recognize a situation or an opportunity to touch someone else. Christ-likeness means that even in our hurting, we are to think of others and how God may want to use us in their situation. God's thinking totally flies in the face of our human nature, and especially against our self-centered society. Our society is one that is focused on what is best for me, regardless of what it can mean to others. What's best for my career, my happiness, my security, my significance, my whatever, you fill in the blank. Have you ever really thought that God wants to encourage you today by what happens here? Desires you take into your heart, somehow that you hear and make it your own today. Or that the truth of his word is something he wants to anchor your lives by and be a beacon of light in this topsy-turvy world and in the lives that we lead. That the music here today is to inspire our hearts and lift us up. That this community is essential and that we're supported by all the fellow travelers here. All these opportunities are ways that God gives us. People were made not to serve the church, but to serve people. We have to just quit talking about ourselves. We have opportunities to change and sustain lives. And we can't shy away from the challenge in this passage. Go. Do. Move. In other words, brothers and sisters, just do it. Amen.